I go over to Genesis 3. We're talking about the presence-driven life, and tonight we're going to start talking about walking with God. It is the key to so many breakthroughs and benefits. But when you see Genesis 3, you see God's original design for you and for me. So anytime you find somebody, Christian or not, churchgoer or not, and they're not walking with God, that's not God's design. It's not God's will. It's not God's best. The best that God has for you and the best you can have in this life is, of course, to walk with Him. Say, walk with God. And that implies something that's intentional. And say this with me, it's a daily decision. What you did yesterday is irrelevant. It's what you're doing right now, walking with God in the present, walking with God consistently. And we see that that's His heart. And you know what they did. Look at your neighbor and smile and say, you know what they did. They just flat disobeyed God. And so what you're going to see is a theme throughout this particular teaching that you can't say that you're walking with God while you're in disobedience towards Him. You're not walking with God. You can con yourself all you want to. You can be demonstrative in your praise and worship, say all the right things, give all the money you want to, even volunteer to your teacher. You know, you can't volunteer anymore. But if you're not really obeying Him, you're not walking with Him. In fact, how many read, in John where it talks about that He's the vine, we are the branches, and we are to abide in Him. Let His word abide in us. Amen. Amen. The word abide literally means to obey. So if you're not abiding, if you're not obeying, you're not abiding. If you're not abiding, you're not walking with God. And so when they blow it here in verse 9, the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I often thought about, what does He sound like? Is He really heavy like a dinosaur? Boom. Boom. I don't know. Was it His voice? What was going on that they heard Him? But the bottom line is they were close enough in proximity to hear Him walking in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." They hid from the Lord in shame. God's design was to walk with man, but sin leads man to hide. You can understand there's no way to walk with God and continue an act of disobedience. A simple illustration, but that's how everything started. Amen. And the Bible begins to point out there's a distinction between those that walk with God and those that don't. First generation, right? Right after Adam and Eve, the force of sin alive and well, and what does Cain do to his brother? Amen. And God says of him, you're going to be what? A wanderer. And there's going to be a vagabond. In other words, you're not going to have the proximity with me you could have had. And God still protects him and marks him, does He not? That's the mercy and the grace of God. But you can see through Scripture, a pattern begins to develop between those that walk with God and those that don't. And I can tell you this, if you make up your mind this year to walk with Him, you're going to see blessings untold, things manifest in your life like you've never seen before. Because even in the house of God, there are people that walk with God. And there are people that don't.
That's right.
There are people that hear the word of God and make the course correction, because listen, to abide means to obey. They make the course correction and they're walking with God. And the moment you stop making the course correction, you stop walking with God. You veered off the path. And God is under no obligation to see any of His benefits, any of the things He promised come into your life when you've chosen not to walk with Him. So here's the real bottom line. Very few people in any given day, in any given church, are walking with God. Look at somebody's mind and say, Hope Harbor's the exception. Come on, say it. Hope Harbor is the exception. We're going to walk with God. Does that make sense? So when God is dealing with you, when the Word is speaking about something, you don't want to say, well, that doesn't apply to me, and then rationalize that away, because rationalization is the badge of the person who's not walking with God. Doesn't apply to me. It applies to somebody else. They should do this. They should address this. They should adjust. They should make the course correction. I'm just fine. And it can be in big things or in small things. How many know the closer you get to the Lord, the more he tends to nitpick.
Yes.
But he's not picking on you. He's trying to bring you to the next level. He's trying to get you in a position so that you can handle the red treasures like the anointing of God. You know, you just can't entrust that to anyone. As I said before, you don't put a five-year-old in the cockpit at the controls of a 747. Although lately it may not make any difference the way things are going. Maybe that's the problem. There are five-year-olds in the cockpit. But normally you don't do that, and God's not going to entrust his true riches to people who basically will not yield to him moment by moment. We look at the great prophets like Elisha and Elijah and others, and they were marked by their ability to walk with God. And they weren't perfect. You look at Elijah's life, that man went through some things. You're here tonight and you think, well, because I'm, you know, prone to bouts of discouragement or depression or despondency, somehow God can't use me. That's not true. God will show up with angel food and restore you in Jesus' name. Amen. The words that you need, the counsel you need, the nourishment that you need has nothing to do with it. It's about the heart. Yet, and he felt at times like I'm the only one. He felt like Tigger. The wonderful thing about Tiggers, he's the only one. I'm the only one left. And God was telling him what? No, you're not the only one left. I have reserved for me what?
7,000.
Faithful. But it can feel like that, and the devil can kind of chime in and, you know, get his little orchestra going so that you kind of become this little sound chamber where everything's going wrong and nothing's going right, and he can get you into that place. That doesn't matter. I want you to be, you know, encouraged in this message that no one can stop you from walking with God. No one. Nobody's attitude, nobody's mouth, nobody's agenda, nobody can stop you from walking with God. Therefore, nobody can stop you from walking in God's best and enjoying God's best in your life. But you know this, when you're doing things you shouldn't be doing, you are not walking with God. So this isn't like a, you know, one-time decision. I gave my life to Christ back in such and such a year, and now I'm walking with God. Are you walking with God today? The moment he goes one way and you go another way, that's the day that you stopped walking. But we're not talking about salvation here. Is that clear to everybody?
That's right.
We're not talking about whether you're saved or not. We're talking about whether you're walking with God. There's a big difference between the saved person and the person that's actually walking with God. Raise your hand and say, he's talking about me. In Amos 3:3, the Bible says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? Here's the key. God is right. So if there's going to be any kind of change here in this year of the change, then it's going to be me making the course correction because he's already right. So to agree with God is not to get God to change. To agree with God is we change. We make the decision. We make the quality decision to do what he's told us to do. And because of that, we see amazing things happen. Scriptures like Micah 6:8 have a big part to play in this particular message, walking with God. There are key principles from that. If we get to him tonight, we'll get to him tonight. But what I've learned, if Jesus tarries, there will be another Wednesday service. And look at somebody and say, I will be there.
I will be there.
Because inquiring minds want to know. But it's so clear to me that there, you know, the devil thinks and certain people think, you know, and certain circumstances come against your mind. It, you know, all these things are working against me and I just can't seem to get ahead. I can't get, you know, the victory. It has everything to do with you walking with God and everything to do with you choosing to align yourself and make adjustments when he talks to you to continue walking with God. That's the key to your victory. Look at somebody and tell them nobody. Smile, say, nobody can keep me from God's best if I make up my mind to walk with God. And how many of you are making up your mind tonight to walk with God? Amen. Oh, they'll try, like Paul said, they'll try to cut in on you. Various philosophies and ways of looking at things, and people will change their mind and their direction, they'll change their doctrine, they'll change their focus. Listen, don't pay any attention to what people do. You just keep on walking down the path God has for you and watch and see what will happen. Amen? It's a good path. It's a blessed path. It's a peaceful path. Amen? It's a joyous path. It's a victorious path. And nobody can stop you but you.
That's it. Amen.
The world will tell you, no, all these people have the ability to somehow hinder me. No, only your own decision and choice can keep you from God's best if you decide to walk with God. See, I'm one of them. Micah 6:8 says, he has showed thee, O man. I assume this applies to O women too. What is good? Say good.
Good.
And what doth the Lord suggest to thee?
Require.
That there is the key. What's written in his word are not what? Options. They're not suggestions. They're what?
Commands.
They're commands. They're requirements. And when we think about command, well, requirement really kind of just kind of ups the ante on that consciousness that, you know, I need to do this. I'm required to do this. I'm laughing about all these federal employees being told they have to go back to work. Shazam. Everybody else had to go back to work. You bless your darling heart. You don't want to work, then quit. If you don't want to quit, then get fired. You know, don't go on a whiny tour. You know, American taxpayers are paying the bill and you're sitting at home doing nothing. Logging in and playing solitaire all day long and you wonder why somebody's calling you on it. Well, amen. There's certain requirements. You know that for a job, for an educational, you know, pursuit. You actually have to write the papers, do the work. Say, there are requirements. And there are requirements that involve your walk with God. And he's shown you what he requires of thee. Say, it's a requirement.
It's a requirement.
So these three principles are not options. And if you want the benefits of walking with God, you got to make sure that you're committed to keeping the requirements of God. It's real complicated, isn't it? No, it really isn't complicated. We just decide we just don't want to do it. Thank you for your enthusiasm over that revelation. Nobody's going to say, yeah, I'm not as far along as I should be with God and in the blessing, you know, because of me. That is not something we do. But if we're honest, we say what? I'm as blessed as I wanted to be.
That's right.
I'm as victorious tonight as I wanted to be. Oh, no, so-and-so and this person, that person, this circumstance. No, you can triumph through it all. No one is big and bad enough to stop you from progressing.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So what does he require? To do justly. Or you can put this down to do right. That's right, you're to be a deadly do right.
Yeah.
To love mercy. Versus loving judgment. Versus loving putting people down. Criticizing them, attacking them. Mercy. Say, they love mercy. There are too many believers that love judgment. And walk humbly with thy God. And just a tip, that doesn't mean self-abasement, putting yourself down. I'm a nobody. Real humility is a person who lines up and under the word of God in every area of life. So when the Bible says something good about you, you believe that. Yeah. Not just the rebukes, but you believe the promises. Amen. When he calls you righteous, you don't go, I wouldn't want to say that. Listen, again, God's right. If we're going to walk with God, right, then one of us has to change. And he's not going to. I'm the Lord thy God, I
change not.
Say it, he's not going to change. So if I refuse to really be humble and submit myself to the word and call myself what he's called me, I have a problem. I'm not walking with God. To deviate from his word is to deviate from your walk with God. That, in a nutshell, separates the victorious believer from the one that struggles all the days of their life. They're serious about this. This is their work. This is their life. Say it with me. They do justly. They love mercy. And they walk humbly with thy God. This needs to be taught because it is the key to walking with God and all the benefits that come from that. But before we do, let's talk about some of these reasons why we should walk with God. What comes from that? Anybody ever got to Leviticus and go, this is monotonous. This is like, well, just like other books of the Bible, it's all there by God's design. There's a reason for all of it. But in those passages, you'll find amazing revelation about the heart of God that's not just suddenly sprung on us in the New Testament. The heart of God is there, His desire to do good to us and to bless us. First of all, why walk with God? Because of God's glory. Because when you walk with God, you get to experience His presence, His power, His goodness consistently. People that walk with God in Scripture, they're always seeing something amazing. They're always experiencing something amazing. And that can be you and me as well. Everybody say, God's glory. Is that motivating enough to walk with God? To experience His presence, His power, and His goodness all the days of your life? He's not holding out on us. He longs to bestow His glory. He longs to bring us from a place of deglorification back to reglorification, where He is bestowing upon us His presence, His power, and His goodness in every area of life. But you know, a lot of people have a very short attention span, even in the body of Christ, and not just during the sermon. It's like, I'm walking with God, I'm walking with God. You're like that dog, you know, that's on a mission. I'm walking with God. Squirrel! That's like us. We're so focused until what? The little bushy tail thing runs by. And all of a sudden, we're not walking with God anymore. The new shiny thing or the newfangled doctrine, you know, or whatever's going on. No, we need to get to a place where we say, I cannot, I will not be moved, no matter what's going on. Amen. Listen, this has never been more important to dig into your foundation of faith. It's never been more important to be a faith person, to be consistent in this. There are people that have this idea, well, you know, when I grew beyond the faith thing. If you grew beyond the faith thing, you grew beyond God. Because without faith, it's impossible. Well, we got a greater revelation. I notice the people that talk this way, they talk about revelation, but seldom practice the revelation they say they profess. Like, I had one person say, we've moved beyond faith, and now it's all about love. Well, that's great. The greatest of these is love, but these three abide. Right? And for someone who has a revelation on love, they are the meanest cuss in the town. Where is your revelation at? How could you possibly have a revelation of love that surpassed us little people still on faith? And be that ornery. Methinketh thou needest to go back to school. You flunked somewhere. Does that make sense? And oftentimes it is not a solid, mature believer doing this. It's a child or an adolescent. They got excited about something, and now we have need of nothing. We have need of no covering. We have need of no one to speak into our lives. We've just grown beyond the masses. No, you haven't. Your mouth is actually exposing the fact that you haven't grown to any length at all. Amen. You're still chasing after the rattle. You big baby. Amen.
That's true.
Amen. But you can't tell a person like that they're a big baby, because guess what? They won't receive it. It's about walking with God. Walking with God is staying in step with His precepts. And when you do, listen to this in Leviticus 26, verse 3. I'm going to read this passage to you. Verse 3, if you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands, remember, to abide is to obey. Mm-hmm. Say that, to abide is to obey. I'll send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops and the trees their fruit. You're going to be fruitful. You're going to have harvest. Anybody in this church tonight like harvest? Anybody here interested in having harvest? We sow, but God also wants you to believe to harvest in your life. And he says, your threshing floor will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. Abundance and safety. I'll grant peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. Freedom from fear. Those of you who go to bed at night in fear, be at peace in Jesus' name. You're walking with God. There's nothing to be afraid of, because he's the biggest thing in the valley. Amen. Say it, he's out, he's there. He's for me, he's not against me. I'll remove the wild beasts from the land, even the two-legged ones, and the sword will not pass through your country. You will pursue your enemies, and they will fall by the sword before you. Five of you will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000, and your enemies will fall by the sword before you. Everybody say, good news,
good news.
Victory. You know, just talking to Kelly about this scripture today, there's no need for you to fret over what people are doing. Just pray Psalm 35, Lord, contend with those that contend with me.
Yes.
David went through this. The psalmist went through this in great measure and would just trust God to take care of that situation. The key is don't focus on what they're doing, what they're saying, what they're involved in, how you're being opposed, how you're being undermined. Don't focus on any of that stuff. Any agenda that may be against you among family members or whatever, you focus on one thing. Everybody say one thing. You walk with God. And he will make sure that those that contend with you are under his feet. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I will look on you with favor.
Praise God.
Amen. Pastor, this is in Leviticus?
Yep.
It stands to the concept, again, of the law of first words. God is reiterating what he really wants for his people. He says, I'll look on you with favor and make you fruitful and increase your numbers, and I'll keep my covenant with you. Everybody say, good, amen.
Amen.
Which means he is committed to showing you covenant kindness or chesed. He'll intervene no matter what's going on in your life with his covenant kindness. You'll still be eating last year's harvest when you have to move out to make room for the new. Your bank account's so full, the bank won't take any more from you. You're like Jesse the Planet, you have to have like 13 different bank accounts.
That'd be great. Yes.
Well, I don't think that's even possible, Pastor. That's your problem.
Yes, it is.
You're walking with God and telling him his promises aren't possibly true. Yes, make room. I'm not saying you're going to be like Solomon. Do you know the Bible says of Solomon that every year, every year, people brought him $1.6 billion in gold bullion. Every year. Think about that. Say, $1.6 billion. Now, think about what that was in their day. That's just one year of bringing it to him. That's a man that walked with God. You say, well, he wasn't perfect. No, he wasn't perfect. Isn't it shocking that you can what? You can still be human and God still bless your life. Besides that, judging Solomon for his weaknesses, better look in the mirror first. Make sure you fix all yours. Amen. Glory to God. Amazing. You will still be eating last year's harvest when you'll have to make room for the new. I'll put my dwelling place among you. Everybody say good news. And I will not abhor you. I'll walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you will no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Walk with your heads high, and guess what? Walking with God.
Yes.
That's the key. Years ago, I had a man come into this church, and he goes, Pastor, goes, I notice a lot of people walk around with their heads down. How come they do that? And I said, it's not unusual to understand that they don't have all the revelation of their victory yet. Religion beats you down.
Yeah.
It's the word that lifts you up.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Come on, say, God's will is for my head to be held high. As I'm walking with God, every single thing you see here about God's presence, say it, his presence, his power, and his goodness, those are promises to the person that walks with God. Now, somebody else can read that and go, well, that doesn't apply to me. Fine, you made your choice. But don't you dare think you can take that promise away from somebody else who's chosen to walk with God. We are filled with people in this country telling us what we can't have and what we can't believe for because they made a decision. They don't want the baptism in the Holy Ghost. They don't want tongues. They don't want healing. They don't want prosperity. Fine, you made your choice. I get to look at Leviticus and make up my own mind. If I walk with God, I can have everything he promised here and so much more. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
His presence, his power, and his goodness.
Yes.
Don't ever let yourself fall to the lowest common denominator of somebody's believism. You press on.
Yes.
In fact, press in further just so that you can become a poster child of God's glory
amen.
In this earth. And then when they come to you and say, well, I just didn't think all that stuff would work, you can tell them, you made your choice.
That's right.
Now that's bad enough, people rejecting what God said would happen to somebody who walks with God. But it's terrible when you try to talk other people out of it as well. Tell what, you just go live in a cave somewhere in defeat, but leave the rest of us alone.
Amen.
Smile at somebody and say, we're working on something. And the key, of course, is walking with God. Amen. Have you noticed that the most recent wave of anti-supernaturalists and anti-Pentecostalism and anti-charismatic and anti-word of faith and anti-prosperity and anti-miracles and signs and wonders, how mean these people are? If you're right, why are you so mean? Shouldn't you have like a joy in your step? I mean, these, and a lot of them are these pasty old white men standing behind a wood desk, you know, looks like a bunker. And they're just, there's no joy there whatsoever. And yet I hear the word of God saying what? The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Come on, throw out a big belly laugh right now. These guys look like they've been visiting the mortician getting ready for death for months. Do not believe in that supernatural stuff. Take it from me. Take nothing from you. You heard a story about two fellows who went to seminary together. They're both excited about the ministry. And then they kind of went separate ways, different parts of the country and different ministry. And years later, they caught up with each other at a fellowship meeting. And the one said, well, where are you at? Well, I'm pastoring over here in such and such a town. And he said, what are you doing? He goes, well, I left the ministry. He goes, now I'm a funeral director and a mortician. He's like, why would you do that? He goes, for 20 years I spent time. I get this one off drugs, he gets back on drugs. I get this one off of alcohol, he gets back on alcohol. I get this one off tobacco, they get back on tobacco. Get this one out of, you know, serial adultery and sexual immorality, and they go right back to it. He goes, now when I fix them, they stay fixed. Look at somebody and say, let's stay fixed. I don't recommend you walk away from your call. On the other hand, I have met some people. They'd probably do better with dead people than the living. So, moving right along, hallelujah. Another sermon, another time. Say, God's goodness, His power, and His presence are for those who walk with God. Amen. And it's nobody else's business. Look at somebody and smile and say, it's fine if you don't want it, but I want it. Amen. Say, I want it. I'm taking it. I have it in Jesus' name. Amen. I said, Holy Ghost people ought to be filled with joy. Anybody here filled with the Holy Ghost? Anybody here filled with the Spirit? Righteousness. You've been made righteous. Peace. Amen. When you're right with God, the peace will flow like a river. And joy in the Holy Ghost. People ought to just look at you and wonder, how come you have such joy? And have you noticed that with people who know who they are in Christ, no matter what they're going through, their joy is not based on what they're feeling or going through. It's bubbling up from somewhere else. Remember what we talked about on Sunday and how this has been scientifically proven? When you speak in tongues, it doesn't come from here. It comes from here. Same thing with your joy. It doesn't come from here. So all the negativity, all the junk you're going through can't stop the bubbling up of your joy, because your joy is a fruit of the Spirit. A force of the born-again Spirit has nothing to do with your head or your emotions.
Amen.
So go around town freaking people out. Amen. How could you possibly have joy? I'll tell you why. Because I'm born again, Spirit-filled. Amen. On my way to heaven. And God's coming back soon. Glory to God.
Amen.
We have every reason to be filled with
joy.
Yes. Amen. Number two, promotion. Supernatural experiences and promotion. Genesis 5:2, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Say that, faithfully. We find him next month, what's he going to be doing? Faithfully walking with God. 10 years from now, what's he going to be doing? Faithfully walking with God. Then he was no more, because God took him away. That's going to happen to millions of people here in the end times. I mean, y'all going to go up on the first load. Amen. Yeah. Amen. It's appointed a man to die once and then the judgment. A lot of debate about Enoch, you know, whether he's one of the witnesses coming back. But the bottom line is supernaturally where he's at. He's at a state that's beyond where we are in terms of glorification. And the rapture is instantaneous death and resurrection. It'll be so fast that you won't even notice what's going on. Amen. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Say it, I want that. The level of experience that you have in the things of God, supernatural things, you know, seeing the move of God, experiencing the move of God, that's directly tied to your walk of faithfulness. God's looking for some people that he can use in these end times. All right. Amen. Anybody volunteer?
Yes.
I'll be single-minded. A lot of folks will look at people like Smith Wigglesworth and say, well, he's just a special case. And if he were here tonight, he is, of course, in his reward with the Lord tonight. But if he were here, he would say, God never intended this to be a special person. Or one a generation. No. If you walk with God, you start doing what he did. Constantly in the Word. Say constantly in the Word of God. Say constantly praying in the Holy Ghost. And constantly living a holy life. Amen. And that's where he lost a lot of people. Because a lot of Christians there are more interested in what they can get away with than living that separated, sanctified life. We shouldn't be looking for a way to excuse our flesh. We should be looking for a way to crucify it. Yes. And that's why you see people that imbibe and participate in certain things. You never see a massive amount of anointing ever flowing in and through them. It has nothing to do with salvation. But it shouldn't be a big surprise to you that somebody with a cabinet full of Jack Daniels and whatever else is not flowing powerfully in the Holy Ghost. And you want to get yourself inflamed? Support abstinence publicly as a minister and see what happens to you. And yet we're talking about functioning at a higher level here.
That's it.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a reason they call them spirits, people.
That's true.
That's right. Spirits. Amen. Glory to God. Anybody here ever been overindulged before you got saved? Raise your hand up high. Own it. Okay. Did you ever do anything good for the kingdom when you were stoned? So why would Christians think that I'll come into the kingdom of God and I'll drag this thing with me that didn't do anything good for me over there? And suddenly it's going to do something good for me now. No, it's not. It's too quiet for a Wednesday night. This is the Overcomers Club. Not the overindulgers club. Anybody here want to have experiences like Philip had?
Yeah.
Baptizes the Ethiopian, then boom, he's gone.
Yeah.
It's happening. Amen.
Glory
to God. Number three, deliverance. Speaking of God's supernatural ability to preserve, to protect, deliver. In Genesis 6:9, Noah was a righteous man. Blameless among the people of his time. And listen to this. And he walked faithfully with God. No wonder God called upon him to build the ark. Amen. And stood there as a testimony for year after year after year. A preacher of righteousness. A person who lived, not perfect obviously, but a preacher of righteousness by his lifestyle as well as his mission. Amen. And when the rain came, what happened? He was lifted up above it. Glory to God. You notice that every animal and every human that got on board survived. That's the keeping power of God. Walking with God. You know, you say, what about all those people who somehow didn't know anything? Their own lifestyle choices set them up for their own judgment. That's between God and them. Can I have an amen? But you know, a lot of people probably began to hear about what this crazy old man was doing. Plenty of time. This thing wasn't built in a week. I mean, it would have taken professional Irish shipbuilders, you know, months and months and months to build this thing with technology. And yet he did it to specifications. Glory to God. Watch this. He just stayed at what God was called him to do because he was faithful and he walked with God. They had plenty of time to get on that ark. You know, it said of the sons of Issachar, what's so special about them, church?
They knew
the times they were living in. And that's the thing about Noah's day. There's some people, you know, that should have been able to read the signs. And guess what? The only other salvation ark that's coming for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, people who understand these things are aware. Walking with God keeps you close enough to pay attention so that you're ready when that trumpet sounds.
Yes, yes.
This place is going to be a mess.
That's right.
When that church is pulled out.
That is.
A mess.
Mm-hmm.
Say, well, you know, a lot of people don't believe that the church will be raptured out. That's because they don't understand that the wrath of God was satisfied in Jesus Christ for the believer.
Amen.
To say that God will put the believer through his wrath would mean that God is not just. An essential attribute of God is his justice.
Yes.
He did not make Noah go through the water. He did not rain down fire and brimstone on Abraham.
No. He did not.
He did not even think about Lot, but what happened with those that did not go with him. God has a habit of pulling his people up and out before the wrath comes. And make no mistake about it, what you read about in Revelation is not a bad day on earth.
No.
It's not a war of man.
No, it's the wrath of God.
It is singularly the wrath of God from which there is no escape. You say, at that point, if you don't believe that God will somehow deliver his people from his own wrath after putting his son on the cross for you and for me, you'll understand how monumental that actually was. I'm telling you, it's a big deal that you accepted Christ.
Yes, it
is. Amen. I said it's a big deal that you accepted Christ.
Yes, it is.
Amen. And walking with God keeps you sensitive to hear. I love stories about those old Indian trackers. You know, they could actually put their ear to the ground and they could hear, you know, approaching or departing hoofprints, and they could see the trail. Even if it's been washed away, they knew things. They discerned things. It's almost like beyond just the natural senses, they could pick up on things. That's the way you and I need to be. Criflow says, be sensitive like a barefooted priest. You're in total darkness, but you're barefooted. So what can you tell with your feet? How many of y'all can tell when you step on something? Huh?
Yes.
Anybody here ever have indoor animals? I just stepped in something. And let's just say at that moment, either that dog or me are all that sanctified. But you're walking along in the darkness and you can tell. If you're walking on a pavement that's wet or in sand that's dry or wet, on rocky soil or things that are sharp, you can tell. That's the way you need to be. When you're walking with God, you have that level of discernment and insight.
Amen.
And you need it.
Yes.
Now, if you're bound and determined you want to go through the tribulation, go right ahead.
Not me.
You probably don't have a vote.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost is in here. I mean, people go to war over this stuff. Yeah, whatever you believe, here's what the message of God is in these end times. Make sure you're ready, period.
Amen.
Say it. Make sure, you are ready, period.
That's right.
Amen. Glory to God. There are a whole lot of other reasons that I could share with you about that, but just know this. Revelation is not beyond your ability to comprehend it. It's a lie when people say you can't read Revelation. No, there's a blessing according to the Word of God for reading Revelation.
Yes, sir.
So don't miss out on a blessing because you said, I can't understand it, so what's the point? Yeah, you can. You have the mind of Christ.
Yes,
and you have the teacher living on the inside of you. You can understand these things.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let me give you another one tonight. When you walk with God, there is success in your life. Say it, success. Deuteronomy 5:33, walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land you will possess. Say that with me, life, prosperity, prolong life. If you're doing what? If you're walking with God. Well, you know, I don't know. I got this disease and that disease, and they gave me bad genes. Why don't you trade those bad genes in, amen, for the good genes that Jesus gives you, amen? You're born again. Amen. Don't have more faith in your natural, amen, line than you do in the supernatural line that you have. Glory to God. I mean, there are people that are terrorizing themselves with these modern tests. Got to find out what all my bad genes are. Oh, that'll turn out well. You're already to get on the internet and get on Google, and then you walk around saying, I've got that, I've got that, I've got that, I've got that. Every doctor I've ever known has said the same thing. I don't like Dr. Google.
Yes.
People walk into the, you know, to the, you know, waiting room, and then they go into the doctor's office, and they know everything. Mm-hmm. Forget about the 20 years they spent training. Amen. You stayed at a Holiday Express last night and got on the internet. Lord, help us. Say, success.
Success.
Say it,
I have success
when I walk with God. Now, here's how you do this. You look at that scripture, and you have to know a couple of things. First of all, he's promising you that you will live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that he has given you to possess. Obviously, for Israel, obviously for his people, he's not giving you that land to possess, but he has things for you. The question is, do you believe it? And do you believe it enough to actually walk with God? Amen. Amen. Come on, shout out, I'm the poster child for walking with God and seeing his success in my life. Can you receive that?
Yes.
Amen. So say it with me, walking with God is to do right, to love mercy, and to do what? And walk humbly. I do right. Amen. I'm merciful towards others. Amen. And I come under the word of God in every area of life. And if you do that, you can hold on to all these promises when it talks about when people walk with God. He's no respecter of persons.
Amen.
He is a respecter of faith. So we'll finish these next week as far as what the benefits are, and then talk about, you know, what it actually means to do what Micah is challenging. Micah, a very small book, but how powerful is that?
Yeah.
Amen. You know, you can turn your life around with that one verse.
Yes.
I said you can turn your life around with that one verse if you'll do it. Say it with me.
I am
going to do right,
love mercy,
and walk humbly.
God
hasn't called us to go around criticizing everybody, tearing everybody up. He's called us to build people up. He hadn't called us to go around exposing everybody and tell them how horrible they are. He's called us to do what? Love covers a multitude of sins. It's up to you what you do. To walk with God, you found out that you're either like the two brothers that covered Noah's, you know, nakedness, or you're the one brother that exposed it.
That's right.
They're both in this, they're all in the same family.
Yeah.
Amen. Two, love mercy. What do they do? They walk backwards. But there are an awful lot of people, amen. In fact, they just don't accept that role as the exposer. Amen. They feel called to do it. I don't know what Bible they're reading, but there is not the gift of exposure in the body of Christ. There is no such call. There is no such anointing. It is self-appointed. And listen to me carefully as a pastor that loves you and cares about you. Look at their fruit. By their what? Their fruit you will know them. And many are fruitless and clueless, amen. Absolutely rootless in their approach to life. That's not what you're called to be. But I tell you what, you can find from cover to cover where people walk in love and mercy. God does amazing things in them and through them. Is there anybody here? Y'all remember years ago when they talked about the end times, people would say things like, yeah, when you get to heaven, God's going to put everything you did on a screen for everybody to see.
Yeah.
And everybody walks out in fear and trembling. I mean, they teach this stuff. And a lot of other erroneous stuff to go with it. But how many can say you're really glad that your record has been expunged? And there is no videotape God's getting ready to throw up there for everybody in heaven to watch and gawk at and laugh at.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. Thank God.
Now, we don't know that's true for the person who is judged and victim of the second death. But for the believer, your record has been exposed. Watch this. According to Matthew 18, though, when God has forgiven you the equivalent of millions of dollars of debt, sin debt, and you will what? Go after your brother for a $20 sin debt? Watch this. The Bible says that man's entire debt was restored to him. After being forgiven great things, that debt was restored to him. How does someone go from having an expunged record to a record that's restored? Not walking in love. Presupposing that I should get mercy, that person doesn't deserve it. And has nothing to do with right or wrong. Everybody in this room, you've done right, and everybody in this room, you've done what? You have done wrong. But the way to get your record expunged is to repent, give your life to Christ, and walk in what? Love and mercy. The guy that owed the $20 to the other guy, he didn't get his record. Amen. Restated. It was the other guy that had his record reinstated. I don't know about you, but I can't afford that. I can't gamble on eternity to go around exposing other people. Amen. And in fact, love covering a multitude of sins, that comes with a pastoral job. Oh, the secrets that I know. Some of you are like, pastor is just messing with you right now. Just messing with you. But by the Spirit, you know things. Does that make sense? Could you imagine having church service and in the liturgy of the church, you've got praise and worship, you've got prayer, and then you have the exposure segment. Well, the pastor, by the Spirit, finds out what y'all been doing and puts you up there to expose you. The ministry of exposure. Does that sound at all like Christ?
No.
Well, if I'm not called to do it, no one else out there in the body of Christ is called to do it. And help me out here. Yes, there is correction, but it's done by those in authority within a ministry context underneath that authority. I have absolutely no right or authority to go rebuking the people of First Baptist Church tonight.
No.
And people claim that Paul somehow did this all the time. Paul dealt with people in the churches that he planted in his ministry structure and in a context like with Peter in ministry association. Yeah. And people look at that and go, well, that's what I'm doing. No. I'm the exposure. I'm just like Paul. You're like Paul. You have apostolic authority. Give me a break. You have nothing but hatred. That is your platform. That's what you stand upon. And if you're not careful, you're going to get your entire record reinstated. Because mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen? I mean, you're glad that your record's been expunged. Anybody here have a pretty lousy record?
Yes.
Aren't you glad it's expunged?
Yes.
All he is asking you to do is treat other people the same way.
Right.
And if you got a gunny sack where you're collecting stuff of everything somebody did wrong, whatever it is, going back years, whatever the case may be, then you missed the whole point.
Yep.
If you don't want God gunny sacking you, don't gunny sack other people.
Yep.
If you forgive them, forgive them.
Yep.
You have no right to hold it over their head anymore.
No, that's right.
Yes, amen. Say it. Do justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly. Walk humbly with your God. That's the key to your victory. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap tonight. Thank you. Who wants to volunteer for the exposure segment Sunday morning? Anybody in particular? Could you imagine the love in that church? Exactly. I mean, I got a feeling that church would disappear in record time. So. Praise God. I do feel compelled to tell you this, that stay away from that kind of a voice and influence in your life. If you're not careful to get inside of you, you'll start looking at everybody the same way and you'll have problems. But more important than this, I have heard and I believe from the Holy Ghost, God is about to judge that spirit in this nation. And you don't want to be a part of that. Say, I'm part of the mercy crowd. Brother Puckett Mayfield pastored there for decades. And I've said this before, there are many occasions where either one-on-one in person or on the telephone, he would share things with me. He'd been in ministry a long, long time, and I was very, very young in the ministry. And he was known for being a very merciful person, wasn't he, Sharon? And he'd say things like this, and I just encourage you to be this way too. Let somebody else be harsh. Let somebody else be the cynic, the critic. The, you know, putting everybody down, being negative all the time. Say this with me. Pastor is blood type. Is be positive. We don't want no be negative around here. Come on, say it. Be positive. But he would sow these little nuggets and they would just kind of explode in revelation because if, you know, you need to receive that and it's from God, it's going to have that effect on you. And he would say things like this. If you're going to err, err on the side of mercy. It's better that you're known as being too merciful than the other way. That somebody accuse you of being too merciful. You say, well, what would that be like? That'd be like God.
Yeah.
After all we have done and what his son was exposed to, say he is too merciful. Aren't you glad he's that way?
Yes.
Shout it out. If I'm going to err,
err
on the side of mercy. Say it. Mercy triumphs over judgment. It tells you the merciful spirit will be victorious over the judgmental one any day of the week. Amen. Glory to God. Give the Lord another hand clap and just thank him.